Obviously, I'm really pleased that you can join us tonight for this first sort of test of the Women's and Girls Coach Development Team podcast. If you can just give us a quick introduction to who you are, and then we can flow into some questions that we're going to talk about today. Rich, do you want to go first?
Yes, so Richard Meek, I'm one of the coach development officers at the FA Women's High Performance Centre. I'm based out of Sheffield Hallam University, so covering the South Yorkshire area.
Okay. Eva?
I'm Eva Eggington, based in Sheffield, originally from Burton-on-Trent, but coach up at Sheffield United, have done for the past, this is my sixth season, this season, so coach there and progressed from the old, when it was Centre of Excellence, under 11s, Centre of Excellence, and progressed up and now working across under 14s, under 16s at the RTC.
So Richard is your boss, basically?
Yes.
All right, okay. So you better sing him up today in this little...
I better do if I want to keep my job there.
Robin, thanks for joining us. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hiya, I'm Robin Parker. I coached for Sunderland RTC for 4 years, and I coached Cramlington Juniors at Grassroots for 4 years before that, and obviously I know Claire through that.
Yeah, okay, and Claire?
Yeah, so same similar role to Rich. So my name is Claire McDougall Robinson. I'm based at Northumbria University's Women's High Performance Centre, current CDO. My previous role was the Technical Director at Sunderland for 14 years.
So does that trump Rich in terms of number of years within the RTC program?
22 years I've kind of currently been involved in the Centre of Excellence program, so yeah, slightly
a little bit more.
Yeah, slightly
more. And just finally, my name's Mark Swales. My current role is Women's National Coach Developer. I've been with the FA for almost 8 years now, in two roles, in this current one, but previously within the PE team. Also on a part-time basis was technical director at Chelsea for the Women's and Girls Programme. And previously from that, I was director of sport of an independent school in St Albans. So thanks very much for coming on tonight. What we'd like to talk about really is just reflect on all of your experiences. All of you have coached grassroots, all of you have been involved in the RTC women's and girls game, and it'd be really good just to hear of what you've learned and what you've taken away from being within the grassroots game and taken into the RTC and vice versa. Anyone want to start us off? Eva?
I've coached in grassroots and community sort of sports for sort of like 15 years. I started when I was like 15, doing volunteering and things, and seeing it progress and going into club football and working with community clubs. It's quite different, and you can see the progression, and the level of interest has been massive. And I think the spike after London 2012 was something that I don't think we were quite ready for, in terms of the number of interest of girls wanting to play and start playing, that clubs weren't quite prepared for it. But it's great to see that progression of, before it was just a girls can come and give it a go if they really want to. There's not really any push or desire to help players unless they're the top players that come out, and they were one in a dime, if you like. To see it now, to see the number of players that you come and within the grassroots leagues and the grassroots teams now, there's some of the players and some of the teams there that half of those team the players can get into RTC squads. So now it's starting to get that real competitive edge, and the opportunities there for girls to progress. So being able to see that sort of change over, you know, only sort of like a 10-year period is massive, and it's just being able to try and keep that driving forward as much as we possibly can as well, to make it open for the girls being able to step up from grassroots into an RTC setup.
Yeah. So Rich, Claire, from your perspective, obviously been in as technical directors, you've seen a huge amount of girls go through the RTC. Have you seen a difference in the last few years with the boom in the number of people playing, as the base, as it's grown, developed more players, technically better players?
definitely. In 2005, so the last Euro, I was part of the Castle Development Scheme, and we tried to do some engagement for the Euros that was held here in this country, compared to what it would have been for next year and the previous Euros that have just gone in the World Cup. There's a massive career. So even just something little as, do they know who a player is? So the whole, I think, kind of where they see it, the marketing approach now is so different now. It's both male and female, to be honest. So boys and girls have it. But in terms of the female side, there's a lot more engagement where they can go and see the players and interact with them. And now being professional, there is some aspiration that the girls can now come and say they wanted to be part of a future. You know, it's not just a hobby anymore. It's not something that is alongside a full-time job. So the numbers are definitely... So if I went into a school back in 2004 and 5, you'd struggle to sometimes get girls' participation. Now you could easily go to any school and there'd be massively, and club engagement would be massively up from that as well. So there's more girls taking part in footballs and leagues and opportunities. Robin, who's in the room, was part of that programme. So she was there as a player as part of some of that. So I'll show you her age there and mine as a 10-year-old.
So, Robin, did you have an idol growing up playing football from the female game? Was there someone that you looked up to when you were playing as a 10, 11, 12-year-old?
To be honest, not really. Like, it wasn't so much out and about there. Like, you heard of a couple, like Alex Scott, who's on telly now. But other than that, like, you didn't really know the names at the time. It was all, like, the men's game. But nowadays, like Claire was saying, like, they know them. So, like, Sir Jill Scott, who does her own coaching camps, the kids love it because they're going, some of them just go to get pictures taken and show off their skills.
Yeah.
And I think that's great that they've got the figures that are actually coming out and, like, willing to coach them. Whereas when I was younger, we didn't really have that. Obviously, we had the likes of Claire and that, which was great when they had the badges on. You were like, oh, yeah, I'm getting trained by... like Newcastle Foundation and stuff like that. But I think that's just the next step that's needed, really.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, Rich, probably from your perspective, again, now having these positive role models where you can reference current players, and because they're more visual, probably has helped you develop players within the RTC.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think for me, the reasons why girls are playing football now has changed and evolved over those last sort of 10 years, you know. So they're all still playing for fun and for social reasons, but clearly now there's more of a proper development pathway. There's a potential sort of semi-professional career at the end of it. So those motivations have changed for me. And what you've seen in the RTCs is the numbers of trialists each year is just growing and growing and growing, particularly at those younger ages, isn't it? You know, we're getting more and more under 10s, under 9s, under 12 girls that you really do want to play football a bit more seriously and try and, you know, improve and progress all the time. Whereas even 5-6 years ago, the numbers were very modest and their reasons for doing it were different, you know. And as I say, certainly within that transition from grassroots to RTC now, we're seeing more and more girls really want to come along and be footballers, if you like. And it's kind of cool now for a girl to be a footballer, isn't it? Whereas
definitely
it probably wasn't as cool.
So would you say then the process of trying is getting to you in terms of the RTCs, because there's more talented girls out there, and obviously you can only take so many, Is it a challenge, or is it still sort of a big jump from grassroots to RTC that you're seeing at the trials?
I think there's a real variance of obviously potential talent within the trial process. I think the skill for us all now, and this is a lot of the work that we're doing, I'd be interested in others' comments. We're obviously trying to do a lot of work around what does talent look like? You know, what is talent? And how do we take that long-term player development from a 9-year-old grassroots player, you know, through a potential, you know, program? And it's really understanding. And I think all the coaches are still wrestling with this within the girls' game is, you know, I think sometimes the training age of a girl, particularly who's been in grassroots, it could be 1 year, couldn't it? They could have been playing football for 1 year. Some might have been playing for 6 or 7 years, been to soccer schools and that. So that piece around trials and that transition is a really interesting development. I'd be interested what all the others think, really.
Yeah, definitely, Rich. I think from the point of view, if I did relationships and my past was with the grassroots coaches, because actually we couldn't take all the players. There were some players that we had to redesign a development program which helped players that maybe not quite there yet, that had potential, that maybe only played for a year or might just need a little bit more time, or the bit of a late developer. So it was actually, the challenge was to make sure that the right player at the right time could get that right opportunity to be exposed to the program. So the challenge wasn't just about the just as a one-dimensional program, it was actually what we were doing around that. So Robin can give you a bit of an insight, because she was part of the what we class as the player development program coach as well. And that, and actually, to be honest, they were more, it was more difficult being that coach than the RTC coach, because their job was to get them either back in if they were maybe released, which some were, or actually to get them in to make sure it was done as well. So I don't know if, Robin, if you want to kind of see what a couple of your, or you input into that, the kind of what things that you needed to do and what the program was like.
Yeah, it was good. Like, you had to think about it, and then obviously in terms of knowing if the players were ready or not and how to help them. It's not only for a challenge for them, it was like a challenge for us, distinguishing what they needed to improve on. And for myself, obviously with me being grassroots beforehand, I actually had a year where I was doing both, and it was a proper eye-opener in terms of taking on board what I was doing at the RTC and grassroots, and trying to like support the kids more. And I think it needs to happen more for grassroots coaches to understand the level of the training, but also what they need from their players, because I think a lot of the grassroots coaches still all just want about winning, but obviously the kids have got to improve, and in order to get to the women's game, that it's not about that moment, it's about the time they're in the game for, and that you've got to develop them through. So if you're only going to mention, like, do them little bits for then it's not going to work for them. So I think we need to develop the coaches more.
Yeah. Robin, that's a great point around that balance between development and winning, and informing our coaches more around the importance of development first, and ultimately winning will come as those players develop. If you're looking at your former self as grassroots coaches, what would be the key bit of advice then around development? What would you say is the biggest thing that they can help their players with in that first moment of joining a club and being part of a team that's going to help them develop to become an RTC player?
For me, it would be, first you've got to like get them enjoying it and involved. So you've got to get them to love the game. Because if they don't, then they're never going to progress. And like give them challenges where they go away and look for the players. So the likes of Jill Scott and Steph Horton, and give them them little challenges. Because otherwise, all they'll see is a men's game, and they won't be able to push themselves on. Just make them friendships.
Yeah. Do you think things like the FA player that are now obviously televising games, do you think that's going to help in the future?
I definitely think so. Sorry, Robin, do you want to go?
No, go on, carry on.
I definitely think so, because I reflect back and I look back when I was younger, when I was playing, and I craved to be able to watch the female game. You know, it was only, you know, once a year, FA Cup final was on BBC. And that was the only bit of women's football that you could see, unless it was obviously every 4 year at the Olympics, then it would be on and it would be broadcast when it possibly was, or when you saw highlights of Euros or the World Cup from afar 2-3 weeks later. So I think being able to get it in the forefront is massively important. But I think now we've got to, again, it's being able to be adaptable to technology and things as well. So like you mm-hmm. said about it is a fun element with the girls and keeping that and trying to give them little challenges that they can take away, but using technology of getting them on YouTube, copying things on YouTube, challenging each other in video clips and things like that to keep them their skills up and doing things outside of the club as well is going to help with that technical ability and getting them to watch games. And I think that's been a big factor is for the girls is sometimes you'll get some girls that will go and they have a season ticket for their club. They will go and religiously watch them every week in, week out. You get some that will sporadically watch match of the day on a Sunday morning when before a football match or just in the morning when they're having their breakfast. But trying to encourage them to watch as much football as they possibly can. And obviously the female game now coming more on iPlayer, on the red button, live streaming. It's definitely pushing and helping that female being in the media limelight as well for all the good reasons.
I think that's a great point, Eva. You know, we've seen certainly there's a definite correlation for me between girls that watch live football and their ability levels and game understanding, and then girls that don't watch much football. And coming back to that training age, I think they can learn. They can learn from other than just training and playing, can't they? And, you know, whether that's grassroots players or RTC players, there is absolutely, for me, a correlation between those that watch and therefore understand the game and those that don't. And Eva, that's a great point, because the more it's on TV, the more they can watch it. We can't all maybe have a season ticket and things. So television is the easier place to watch it, isn't it?
So what I'm hearing from this is not only do we want the players to be watching more live football, is actually now if we look at our grassroots coaches, the more educated they become in what's going on in the women's game as well, will only hopefully influence them to talk more about Jill Scott or Steph Houghton or Nikita Paris rather than using an example from the male game, because they might watch that on a Saturday evening. That's going to be really beneficial for you as coaches within the RTC as players progress through the pathway.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. I think, you know, we've got to stop using Ronaldo and Messi as the examples and role models and use those female players. You know, it's got to be Lucy Bronze. It's got to be Steph Houghton, hasn't it, to give these girls. And the more coaches can watch the women's game, the female game, and make it specific to that, the better. Rather than, as I say, relating it to predominantly the male game.
Yeah, definitely. Look, just one question really to finish off really, and again probably lined to your coaching experiences. How do you think your planning for sessions and sort of engaging the girls has changed over time, moving from the grassroots to the RTC game?
Robin, do you want to go first?
Okay. For me, I think my coaching's changed quite a lot over the years, especially thinking back to when I first started in grassroots. I was always a coach that wanted the team to pass the ball. And now looking back, I hindered my players a lot because they weren't comfortable enough to dribble. But obviously once I got in the RTC and met Stevie Mack and Claire and all them, and we had like that structure. So I had the plan of what we were going to do across the season. I think that helped massively for me as a coach, because I knew what I was going to do. And it wasn't just based on how they played on the Saturday, or they couldn't shoot, so we'll do shooting today, or they weren't very good at defence, so I best work on defence. Instead, whereas when I was at the RTC, we'd done it across the season. To go back to the point I said before about it's not about the now, it's about the future.
So you'd encourage a lot of grassroots coaches still to have some kind of structure to how they see their weeks of, even if it's once a week training, over sort of a 6, 8, 10 week period, that they have a little bit of a more structure to their program rather than, as you said, just turning up and thinking, oh, well, we'll do shooting this week or we'll do passing, having an idea of what they want to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we're going about having a philosophy, and it's good that they still have the philosophy, and within them, like, blocks of defending, attacking, put their philosophy in it. But definitely have, like, a pattern in so that it involves the keeper as well. Because me as well, I was one of the ones that done it where the keeper was left out in the wall within the session. But now, like, when I'm doing it, I'll try and integrate the keeper in, whether that's a possession drill, and if you chip it in the keeper's hands, they get a goal. But trying to work the keeper in as well, because I think that they get left out a lot.
Yeah, and I think we all know that within the women's game that still the goalkeeping is an area that we really need to support moving forward at grassroots all the way up into international level. Sorry, Rich, I felt like I cut you off there.
No, I was just saying, Rob, that's a great point, I think, around coaches having structure, involving all the players and, you know, making sessions more fluid. You know, I think that probably link between grassroots and RTC. Obviously, in an RTC, you're going to have maybe two-hour sessions plus a game a week, whereas in grassroots, you might only have an hour. So arguably, there's more emphasis on structure and a longer-term plan, isn't there? Because you've got to get your work and your development into a shorter period of time. You know, I would argue that in an RTC, you've actually got more time and therefore more fluidity to your program because you've got your players for longer.
One more thing for me, it would be the fact of when I'm coaching, again going back to when I first started in grassroots, I'd done my session and it was just a session, it wasn't focused on any players, whereas now I've developed, especially going to the RTC and seeing how things done, of making sure you do it towards the players, whether it might be two or three of the players it's based on, improve them, but then you can still work on the other ones around it as well.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
Great points there. And I think that was sort of the thinking that I was going down as well, was reflecting back and thinking grassroots, you know, you normally probably train for an hour a week, don't you? And then you've got a game at the weekend. So when I look back and I think about my planning, and it was all scribbled down on a bit of paper an hour before my session. And like you said there, Robin, you didn't really think about the players. You just thought, oh, I'll just do a session around passing, around dribbling, whatever it was. So it was quite sort of like basic when I look back at it. And then it's a case of now you've got to think about developing the players in different ways and thinking about four corners and what you're going to focus on, what do you need to focus on. But then completely agree that try and get a bit of a structure, a bit of a syllabus or a plan together, because you can do a number of sessions over 4 or 5 weeks, but without that repetition, then it might take longer for some players to actually understand what you want them to do from a session. If you don't recap and revisit that, then they're probably not going to get as much out of it as you want them to. I think the big thing for me, the last thing for me, was actually being able to find time to sit down and plan my sessions. So I've, you know, now I plan them every week on a Sunday after thinking about a game on a Saturday, looking at syllabus and the structure and looking at that and thinking, right, let's get a plan together, rather than thinking the night before or a couple of hours before, what am I going to do for my session? And that gives you a bit of that confidence that you know you're going to deliver everything that you want out of your session, because you've planned it, but you've also got a backup plan in case numbers drop, the area that you've got drops, smaller parts, pitch size, less equipment, whatever it might be, you've got backup plans as well.
Yeah, that's the great point. That adaptability of coaches is crucial, whether it's RTC at grassroots, at any point in the game, being able to adapt on the spot and still make it fun and enjoyable for the players is crucial. Just to finish then, if you had to hang your hat on one piece of advice that you give to grassroots coaches aspiring to move into pathways coaching, what would you all individually say would be your one piece of advice? Rich, I'll put you on the spot first to give the others a bit of time to think.
Mine would be being really open-minded to learning and that. I think, I personally think the fundamentals of coaching girls or C coach are the same, in that you want to be fun, you want to have some time to interact and make friends. The differences come in the number of hours that you have the players. Clearly, the ability levels of the players in general will be higher. So I think to transition from one to the other, just like what Robin said, you've got to be very open-minded to learning and developing. And there's not make just mindset of individual team. It isn't around winning. So I'd be looking very much for a coach, not that's necessarily an amazing coach, but someone who's a good person, who's open to learning, who wants to grow and develop and wants to listen and ask questions, be inquisitive. My fundamental thing when I'm looking for a new coach is are they a good person? That would be my first thing, because then you can work with, you know, people want to learn, they want to improve. Would look for.
Great point. Claire?
Yeah, I'd probably reiterate with what Rich is saying, you know, the values of what the type of person the coach is really important, so that openness. They're dealing with the girls and the kids and the teenagers or their wannabe young adults, but you're dealing with talent. So the additional program is probably still, you still have to differentiate. You still have to look at dealing with those that are struggling, those that are coping, and those that are striving ahead. But fundamentally, you're dealing with talent. But you are dealing with a person first and foremost as well. So you've still got all those abilities around the social interaction, dealing with stuff off the pitch as well as on it. But again, like you said, you've got a little bit more time within the RTCs to have a go to do with that, rather than being succinct in an hour or 2 1-hour sessions for that grassroots coach. I think the positive to it, you're just a coach. I'll be honest on that, because I know, being part of a tutor myself, dealing with grassroots coaches, a lot of them have very different hats. They're the manager, they're the coach, they're the treasurer, they're the social, you know, counsellor. But fundamentally, in an RTC, your first and foremost is some of the stuff that you're doing, which is on the pitch.
And also, they're not being paid for it. They're doing it potentially for love, on top of doing another job and looking after their families. There's a huge amount of challenges for grassroots coaches. As I say, we know the RTC coaching pathway is not perfect, but like you say, to a certain extent, you can just be a coach and someone to support the talent that you're working with. Eva, any final thoughts from you, first of all?
I think mine quite nicely follows on from what Rich and Claire have said, actually, you know, in terms of being open and being open to learning. My biggest thing was probably pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and don't be afraid of trying something new. Not you know, all of the TV series that are coming on and behind the scenes of what Klopp does and what Guardiola does, maybe not to that extreme, but you might have a discussion with another coach and they recommend try this in terms of a little session or a little activity, try doing this topic and just give it a go. Because, you know, if you try, if it doesn't work, that's where you're pushing your boundaries and that's where you're going to grow so much more as a coach, rather than just doing what you're comfortable with and what you've always done. It's trying different things, trying different ways, different delivery, different setup, and just trying and don't be afraid of failing, because that's a good thing. It's a really, really good thing to fail, to progress, to...
That's a brilliant point. You know, failure shouldn't be seen as something that we should be scared of. It should be something that where we should encourage the players and the coaches to do things that might go wrong, because actually we all know through the learning process that people learn more through failing than constantly being in a safe environment where nothing ever goes wrong. Brilliant. Robin, last but not least.
Definitely. I agree with all three. For me, I wouldn't say failure, I would say learning. Like, I tell the kids, oh, you're learning, like, try and learn this. And even now, like, when I'm playing, I was playing alongside one of the kids I used to coach, and I'd done something I told them years ago not to do. And I turned around and I goes, look, even I make the same mistakes of what I was telling you not to do. I was like, and she started laughing. I was like, we've just got to keep trying. So for me, it's more making sure we keep trying, but having a good relationship with the kids. So knowing so they know the boundaries of when we'll have a bit of fun and joke on and when it's coaching. Because I think when you get the rapport right, they respond to you better. as well as not just them, obviously your fellow coaches and the parents, like not isolating them, at least giving them a bit of information on what you're doing so they understand, so they're not blinded.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, yeah. If that makes sense.
No, definitely. I think, Robin, probably the biggest thing from what you just said there for me that made me smile was you saying just keep them smiling. I think if anything, that our job is exactly that, is getting players on the pitch, getting girls to smile and enjoy, and as one of you said earlier on, fall in love with the game so that they want to play and they want to stay in it. And if they have the opportunity to progress through the pathway into the RTCs, from what I'm hearing today, up in the north anyway, because me being the only southerner, we've got a great group of people trying to put smiles on the face and develop talented young female players. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for taking your time to communicate and talk with us today, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Terrific. Thanks, team.